You're listening to the Electronic Media Collective Podcast Network. Yeah, it's a mouthful. For more great shows, like the one you're about to enjoy, visit electronicmediacollective.com. And now, our feature presentation.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 50 of the Pro Wrestling Iowa podcast. That's right, episode 50. We're almost a year old, and makes sense. Let's relaunch. This is the last episode of the Pro Wrestling Iowa podcast. It's going to be this way. Starting next week, the Pro Wrestling Iowa podcast will start coming out on Wednesdays with myself, Luke Raven, and Alex McCarthy talking Iowa wrestling, Midwest wrestling, and a little bit abroad here in the Midwest portion of the United States. Darnell and Kevin aren't going anywhere, though. They're moving with me to Fridays, where we'll have the Pro Wrestling Mothership, a part of the Pro Wrestling Iowa Network. Also, other shows involved with us, Radio Desire Podcast, the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, things like that. It's a really exciting time. Make sure you go to ProWrestlingIowa.net this week. I'm going to have an article explaining everything up for you guys on Friday afternoon. The Pro Wrestling Iowa podcast, though, is produced every week and available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Blueberry, the EMC Podcast Network, and ProWrestlingIowa.net. I am your host, ProWrestlingIowa.net Editor-in-Chief Dustin Smothers, and this week I am joined by Darnell Mitchell, Kevin Wilder, and coming back for a double dip is Dave Murphy. Welcome to the show, guys. How we doing?
I'm doing well, and I'm stoked about the changes. It's the appropriate time, and it's the right thing to do. It is to grow this beast that has overtaken us. It's awesome to see, and I'm stoked for the new Mothership logo, and everyone will see it soon. So I hope everyone enjoys it. I am, and thanks for being along for the ride.
Kevin, 50 episodes the new logo combines two of your favorite things, music and wrestling.
Yep, it is two of my favorite things for sure. And if we could just find a way to get a stake in there, then we'll have everything.
Just get a cow in there. It is Iowa, right? Darnell, how excited are you for the transition over? Your buddy Earl Tompkins, Art by Earl, did our new logo. We are in the works with another friend of ours, potentially for a brand new theme song. Darnell, what are your thoughts?
I am super stoked. There's a lot of stuff going on here at Pro Wrestling Iowa, and I am incredibly happy that my friend Earl Tompkins, Art by Earl, did our logo, and I think it looks amazing, and I'm ready for the new beginnings. I'm also ready because you and I have been talking, and potentially it is in the works that I might be in Iowa this May. I'm very, very excited to see independent wrestling. I'm very, very excited to see DJ Click and Play's Six Star Booty, because apparently, you know, that's what Dave Meltzer have given it. So there's a lot of happiness going on, and I'm excited all around.
Yeah, it's a really fun time, and I'm looking forward to recording the first Rated R podcast there with Luke Raven, Justin Decent, and Mike Malice this coming Saturday after the Impact Pro Wrestling Show. Just so much coming. You're going to want to subscribe to all of our new shows. Definitely go to Twitter and subscribe at PW Mothership, at Radio Podcast, and at Rated R Podcast. We're not going anywhere, though. We're joined this week, like I said, by Dave Murphy. Dave, I almost tried to make you Dave Wilder at the beginning of the show here. That would be weird. I'm glad that you're
Kevin's trying to make that too, so it's not a big deal.
I have been for years, and he's rejected me. So.
How's your week going, man?
I tell you, Dustin, I'm doing great. It's actually been a really fun last 7 days in professional wrestling, you know, barring a couple things. But the UK tournament, good Raw, good SmackDown, good 205 Live even. I'm overflowing with positivity.
Guys, let's jump right into the news this week. There is a lot to cover, and some really big news broke on Monday afternoon before Raw. ESPN broke the news, then WWE confirmed it. We have our first Hall of Fame inductee for 2017, WrestleMania weekend in Orlando, and that man is the Wrestling Machine. It's true. It's damn true. The Hall of Fame will be intelligent. It'll have integrity and intelligence because Kurt Angle is coming home to the WWE, guys. What are your thoughts?
Couldn't be any happier for him. And I was actually surprised up until the day it was leaked. I used to look forward to the days when you would watch the show and you'd find out for the first time, but that's neither here nor there. DDP had been rumored. Rick Rude had been rumored. Kurt Angle was a complete surprise, so... he's definitely deserving, and it's good to have him back where he belongs. So
it definitely made for an exciting afternoon because then I was actually excited to watch Raw. I couldn't wait to see a Kurt Angle video package. And you know what I love the most is that after they made the announcement, they played a song in the arena, and the fans chanted,
You suck.
It was so great. Yeah. So great. It's good to know that nobody forgot. Darnell, what are your thoughts on Kurt Angle?
When I talk about wrestling... And when I talk about my favorite wrestlers, there's Shawn Michaels, there's Daniel Bryan, there's Voldemort, and there's Kurt Angle. You can't deny what this man has achieved in such a short amount of time in his WWE career. And you also can't deny that whether or not he might be one of the greatest professional wrestlers of our time, he's also one of the greatest amateur wrestlers of our time. And how often you get to say that about a wrestler. This man is one of a kind. This man is... I've said this before, actually. And I've talked about a gentleman who claims to be... the best in the world, but in my opinion, was never the best in the world.
Is that the, I'm the best in the world? Or is that the, I'm the best in the world at what I do?
It's the former, not the latter. And one of the things that I think is very important to be a fantastic wrestler is being able to wrestle anyone and putting your all into every single character and every single match you have. And Kurt Angle is one of those people. And Kurt Angle has put his all into the art that he portrays in wrestling. And it couldn't have happened to a better guy.
Now, Dave, as somebody I know that you're very in tune with the history of professional wrestling, and you're a fan of workers, I'm guessing you've got a lot of great things to say about Kurt Angle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you couldn't design a better professional wrestler than Kurt Angle, honestly. I mean, there's always been a thing that you either have the look, you have the charisma, or you have the ability. If you have two of those things, you're going to make a lot of money and be kind of a legendary figure. If you have all three, the sky's the limit. And Kurt Angle's one of those guys that has all three. You've been a guy who could fill any role. If they needed a guy to be in the main event, he had that credibility. It didn't matter if he'd been feuding an undercard feud, you could slot him in there. You needed somebody to put on a tiny hat and have a funny conversation with Steve Austin, Kurt Angle's your dude. If you need somebody to, you know, go for an hour with a fellow amateur wrestler like Brock Lesnar, he's your dude. Like, Kurt Angle was just a special guy. And I think the other thing that you can really look at with Kurt Angle as far as just sort of the modern day art of professional wrestling, Austin was credited with a lot of like the WWE main event style, where it was kind of, you know, a brawling style where it went everywhere and that was the thing. But Kurt Angle really ushered in a whole new main event style that I think still persists to this day, and is really a lot of kind of the blueprint for a lot of the indie matches that are, you know, the kind of finisher trading and the big move after big move, throwing bombs type spectacle, I think was, you know, kind of a Kurt Angle specialty and somebody who really brought that into the forefront. So as far as just ability goes, man, I don't think there's anybody that's more deserving than Kurt Angle, you know, except Eddie Guerrero, but he's already in, so it's fine.
And he was Suplex City before there was Suplex City.
Man, there was nothing cooler than when Angle took the straps down. You knew shit was about to go down.
Absolutely. So what, like, what's your favorite Kurt Angle match, Dustin?
Oh, without question, mine is the Undertaker versus Kurt Angle for the title at No Way Out. It would have been 2006. Kurt Angle successfully defended the title heading in to the WrestleMania 22 show, and it's sort of almost, I think, the only time the Undertaker submitted, essentially. There was some controversy at the end. You should go watch the match, but it's one of the few matches where the Undertaker actually, there was a visual submission, as I believe time ran out. It was,
can I watch the match on a WWE Network for $9.99?
Yes, you can. It just, I remember this being, this is literally, go back and watch. It was one of Undertaker's best matches.
And not only that, and that's such a good pull, Dustin. Like, that's one that people don't really talk about like they should. But it really was kind of the ushering in of Undertaker as a special professional wrestler.
Undertaker, you know, became a work rate guy.
Right, exactly. Like, that was sort of the precursor to all the WrestleMania matches, where suddenly, when the Undertaker's in a ring, it's a five-star match. Like, you know, we spent 20 years where that didn't happen, or whatever, 15 years, and suddenly he's working five-star matches. And that was really one of the first you could point to where he put on his boots. And, yeah, that's a great match, man. I'm actually jealous. That's the one you picked. Anyway.
What about you guys? What's your favorite Kurt Angle match?
Well, I'm going to just say that the match I'm going to choose is – because there's one that they had actually at a Raw taping in Ames – that same year, that was really good, that I liked. And wrestling work rate wise was on fire for this, for 2001. But my choice is Kurt Angle, Steve Austin, SummerSlam 2001. And actually, Dave and I were talking off before we started recording, was if that match had an actual finish to it, it would be five star, top five greatest matches in WWE. If not of all wrestling. So, you know, it's funny with, I hadn't really thought about that match in a while, but with all the Angle talk lately, it's just, it's really got me thinking, man, of all the great matches he's had, I'm going to have to go back and watch it, but that's the first one that popped in my head, so.
Man, I can't wait till they load up a Kurt Angle package collections. On the network. Yeah, a collection on the network. Dave, what about you? What's your favorite Kurt Angle match?
My big two, if we're looking at singles, it's Angle and Eddie. Eddie's my favorite wrestler of all time. I think Eddie Guerrero is the best wrestler of all time.
At 20?
Is that
their only match?
They had other matches, but that's kind of the one that everyone remembers.
I love when Eddie takes his boot off.
Yep, it's such a smart finish. The build-up to that is great. One of my favorite moments ever is Eddie's fighting Paul Heyman,
right.
One hand tied behind his back, and Angle's music hits. With Eddie's arm still tied behind his back,
he comes out taping his fists up.
And Angle just starts taping his fists up without like an expression. He looks like the Terminator.
Oh yeah.
And then he just mauls Eddie. Yeah, one of my favorite feuds and moments and matches. But my favorite Kurt Angle match is up until this year the best WWE tag match of all time: Angle and Benoit against Rey and Edge at No Mercy 2002. Just a perfect.
Was that the tag team tournament final?
That was the SmackDown Tag Belt Tournament Final. Yeah. And then that's kind of where the Eddie stuff first sort of, because Eddie and Chavo got in the mix there. So there's some Angle and Eddie matches in there that are
that's
fun,
right.
too.
That's
but
right.
anyway, the No Mercy 2002 tag team match was, up until the NXT Toronto, the best WWE tag match of all time. And it's just perfect, like... Everyone knows who they're supposed to be in that match. I can't say enough good things about it.
Darnell, add a final fourth match to this. If our listeners are going to go out and watch four Kurt Angle matches this week, what's the final fourth match they need to go watch?
Cannot give you the final fourth match. I can give you three of my favorite Kurt Angle matches, but they're good. So stay with me here. Absolutely, Kurt Angle and Voldemort / Chris Benoit. I know They wrestled each other fantastically well. I think it's Royal Rumble 2003. I also have to give praise to Shane McMahon dying. Literally dying. Hashtag like dead.
King of the Ring.
King of the Ring.
2001, right?
Yes.
I believe, yeah. And then I can't think of what WrestleMania this is exactly, but no one ever talks about this match, and I love this match. It's 10 minutes. They go at it for 10 minutes.
It's 22. It's the match. It's the next one. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. 22.
Yeah. So month it's after, like legit. Match. Yes. It's like 10 minutes. It's Kurt Angle, Rey Mysterio, and Randy Orton. Kurt Angle, in the first 3 minutes, hits a double German suplex on Randy Orton and Rey Mysterio and just suplexes everyone like crazy. And I love that match. It's such a fun little match. I might watch it tonight, and you know, on the WWE Network for $9.99. So, who knows?
Guys,
WWE, y'all should pay me now.
Great recommendations, everybody. I encourage you, if you're a fan that's not familiar with Kurt Angle's WWE work, if maybe you're only familiar with him in TNA, because Dave, you brought up before we recorded, Kurt Angle was actually in TNA longer than he ever was in WWE.
Yeah, that's true. And honestly, there are a lot of people, you know, because TNA has such, like, I don't know, an aura around them, however negative it may be, that that don't look as highly into his work. But he had great matches with AJ Styles. He had great matches with Samoa Joe.
Oh, man,
Christian,
the cage. The cage with Joe is fantastic.
Christian Cage.
Yeah.
Of course Christian, but Christian Cage and TNA.
He had some good matches with Sting.
Yeah, man, there was a bunch. I feel like he worked with, like Bobby Roode even towards the end there. And
Bobby Lashley.
There's some fun stuff in that TNA run. If you have a Roku, as somebody who has a Roku, the Fight Network is actually only $3 and has the complete TNA pay-per-view history, not like the weekly pay-per-views from when they went to monthly pay-per-views from, like, I think about 2006 until current. So
I think it was 2004. I think it was 2004.
Like Bound for Glory days and all that stuff. Bound for Glory.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he also lost a I Get Your Wife match to Jeff Jarrett. Or am I imagining that?
No, that was just real life, Kevin.
Oh, okay. Shoot.
Real life.
So sometimes
he worked himself into a shoot, guys. Guys, let's move along here. This week, Triple H did an interview with Fox Sports Wrestling Compadres podcast where he confirmed the WWE Women's Tournament, similar to the Cruiserweight Classic or the UK tourney. He said it would most likely take place this summer. Darnell, right off the bat, how stoked are you for a women's tournament?
You know what? I'm just ready for everyone to get on my level. Like, these ladies have been killing it on the independents. You have WSU, you have Shine, you have Shimmer, you have Stardom in Japan, and these women are out there performing 5-star matches, and everything you saw with Kelly and chicks like... Who's in TNA terrible?
Candice Michelle. You got Christy Hemming.
Oh, TNA had a match this year with
Rose. No, that chick. Yes. Terrible.
It's Shelly Martinez and Rebel. Think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
Worst match of the year. Literally worst match of the year.
Oh, I'm going on
my I'm just going to stick with my exasperated noise. And I get one exasperated noise. And
I think we all watched that match with our pearls clutched. And, you know, it's time to unclutch those pearls, people, because you've got some of the best women talent in the world. And if they're smart, they'll utilize women like Heidi Lovelace and Kimberly, even though, Dustin, I told you when I think Heidi Lovelace and Kimberly will probably debut. But they've got so much talent out there in the world. And I think, you know, I kind of hope it's more 16 competitors like the UK tournament than 32 in the Cruiserweight Classic.
Right.
because 32 is a lot of people. It's a lot of people, and you know, it's you can just be as easily forgotten as Ho Ho Loon.
Who do you? But, well, okay, yeah. Really quick, female wrestlers. Who's the female Ho Ho Loon right now?
I can't say that because I know the exact person that came in my mind, but I might work with her over WrestleMania weekend because I'm really good friends. My friend is really good friends with her, and I've met her 3 times, and Earl has done artwork that's legit in her household, but she's not very good. And she's very, very, like, everyone talks about her, and everyone, you know, she is very well known, but, and she's a sweetheart.
I have a very good guess, and we'll do it
all. I'll say it as long as you beef it out. You have to beef it out.
No, we'll just talk off air. We'll talk off air.
Okay, but you know, Dustin, you might know who I'm talking about.
Well, I may know, but we'll talk about that off air.
We're gonna
blue ball the audience pretty hard.
Oh, Velvet Sky is horrible. I'm not talking about her. She's horrible. That chick needs to take. She needs to go to a TNA arena where there's plenty of empty seats and take a seat.
Guys. Like, women's tournament aside here, we could talk all day about this. It's just really exciting that they're going to do this. We can speculate all day of who's going to be in it. I want to talk a little bit more about the UK tournament because I know, Dave, we planned on having you on the post-show, but that didn't happen. So I want to give you some time to talk about it. And Kevin, not being familiar with any of these guys, I want to hear your thoughts as well. But Dave, the floor is yours. You've got a few minutes here to talk about the UK tourney and how it changed your life over the weekend.
Well, let's start right away with what I'm sure is going to be a very hot take, but please follow along to my logic because I will explain myself. For my dollar, for what I watch wrestling for what I expect out of professional wrestling, this was the best show of the year. And I include both days as show, but it was the best show of the year, and that includes Wrestle Kingdom. And I'll tell you why. Citizen Kane, everyone that watches Citizen Kane is going to tell you that that's an amazing movie. It's well put together, perfectly shot, acted, all of that. The Karate Kid probably isn't in that sort of realm, but man, a lot of people love The Karate Kid, and I'm one of the ones that loves The Karate Kid.
Sweep the leg, Johnny.
And this show was pretty much the professional wrestling equivalent of The Karate Kid. It was, you know, the tournament at the end, but we got the whole tournament and we made Pete Dunne into Johnny. And man, Pete Dunne even looks like a cross between a preppy bully to like Scott Farkas. You know, he's got like just that sort of like kind of a little bit pockmarked. You know, the gum shield makes him look like he's got braces. Like he looks like just a vicious elementary school bully.
He looks like Gary Busey from Lethal Weapon.
Right. Yeah. He just looks like, and then he went out there and set the tone for who he was. Meanwhile, on the other side of the bracket, you had 19-year-old Tyler Bate, who every time he stepped into the ring, waved to the audience and looked like he had no business being there as far as facial expressions, as far as body language. Like, he was just happy to be there. And he won everyone over by just being a babyface, like just being a good dude who wrestles hard and is happy to win and shakes people's hands. And his story matched with Dunn's story was a perfect pro wrestling story. And right to the end, you know, I was even worried. I love the hell out of Pete Dunne, and I'd have been pissed if he'd have won. Just furious, because that's not the story. You know, Johnny doesn't win at the end of The Karate Kid.
Danielson does.
Danielson wins, you know? And so with those two congruent stories was perfect. And you had the Dunne-Andrews match, which was just I think it's my match of the year so far. I know we're only 3 weeks in, but that Dunn and Andrews match was perfect from the way he threw the crash landing, the X-Plex on the floor, and then kept trying to throw it, which then worked into the Stun Dog Millionaire, which actually, you know, worked because it's a suplex, and then he can counter a suplex. But then he hit it but then Dunn hits it at the end and wins. And Wolfgang working three different matches in three different ways. He worked as, you know, kind of a Hoss match with T-Bone, and then he worked as an underdog babyface against Trent Seven, who, you know, I would have picked that was my winner when that first thing was announced. And then he worked as just this kind of bully, like, I know, I believe Dustin's mentioned the Bret Hart 1-2-3 Kid match from Raw before. Mm-hmm. That's what Bate Wolfgang felt like, where it was Wolfgang being this kind of overwhelming 250-pound but moves like a cruiserweight guy against, you know, this kid, literal kid, 19 years old. And every time he sneaks that Tyler Driver 97 in and wins, and he looks like he's seen a ghost and doesn't, you know, perfect. It was perfect, absolutely perfect. And I don't think there'll be a show this year that I love more than it.
Kevin, what did you think? I know you were not familiar with these guys going in. What was your take on this UK tournament over the weekend?
Well, I'm not going to be able to articulate it quite like Dave, but I would definitely give it my old college try. I was coming into this with fresh eyes. I was very stoked about it just because I'm like, okay, something different. If it's anything like the Cruiserweight Classic, we're in for a treat. And yeah, it did not disappoint. Now, obviously, night one, it was all solid wrestling. It was exactly what it needed to be. It served its purpose, but it wasn't like none of the matches really stood out. I guess, like, except for one, I really did like Birch and Devlin. That was actually surprisingly good match for me. But then night two, which, like I said, paced the right way, was the standout night with a couple of really good matches. And Andrews shined. There's five minimum of bona fide stars made out of this, and if not more. But I'm thinking like five at the top of my head. And coming in with fresh eyes, I know who everybody is now. In two nights, and as Dave said, collectively one show, I know who everybody is. I know if they're heels or faces. I know what they bring to the table, what their character is, what their arsenal is like. And I will admit, Dunn stood out. And by the end of the night, I was all in for Bate. That guy, 19 years old. 19, that guy, he was born when I graduated high school.
What I think is really cool about this is, you know, we talk WrestleMania weekend. Darnell, I know you messaged me today. WWN Live is bringing Progress Wrestling to WrestleMania weekend. They announced that Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne, Trent Seven, and Mark Andrews are all signed for that show. I'm very excited. And it's fun because you think about how quickly the UK scene regenerated its talent base after you watched Tommy End, Zack Sabre Jr., Marty Scurll, and Will Ospreay have like a coming out party last year at WrestleMania weekend where the whole world took notice of how good these four guys were. And here we are again, shaped up to have another weekend where four UK guys are going to take over WrestleMania weekend, I think.
It's pretty incredible. I actually messaged Jim Smallman, who's one of the owners of Progress Wrestling, and I was just kind of like, holy crap, dude. It's amazing to see you guys here. I spent so much money to go to London to see them here, so it's amazing to see them, like, in my home country. I have two questions. Kev, first...
Yo.
Have you ever seen Tyler Bate or Pete Dunne wrestle before?
Birch was literally the only guy I was familiar with, and Andrews. So those are the only two guys I had ever seen.
And you were blown away by both competitors.
Yes, I was. Specifically, Seven, Bate, Dunne, and Wolfgang, and Andrews. I guess those are like the five that...
I'm a huge Wolfgang Mark now.
Yeah. But Don, like, he just brings, like, everything Dave said. He just brings a legitimate, this guy is a bully vibe to him. And Regal, God love Regal. He's another rumor to go on Hall of Fame. I really hope he does. He deserves it. But he played his role so well. And it was almost like, for a dated reference, it was almost like an Eddie Haskell move by Don to back off from him, because it's not like he's scared of him, but he's going to play the game to get what he wants. It was just perfect. The little nuances, is what pro wrestling should be. And
what was even great about those nuances, not to, to cut it off there, was you can tell by how Dunn wrestles, and even like to the color of his tights and stuff. He's a very, very huge William Regal fan.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can absolutely tell. Like like with no storyline involvement in all, you can just tell that that's a guy that Pete Dunne loves.
The interaction.
So when they had those when they had those backstage videos, you know, Nigel got in his face and he just smirked at him and kept taking off his wrist tape and littering, which I thought was a perfect, just a perfect moment. Takes his wrist tape and just throws it on the ground because you know. And then Triple H comes by and, you know, he doesn't even like back down. Like Triple H kind of comes in like something's going to happen, you know, like. But then Triple H kind of gives him a nod of approval because that's kind of Triple H's game. But you know, like Triple H comes sauntering in. Like if you're a guy who just did that in Triple H's tournament, like you think maybe you're going to be a little bit. But no, like Dunn still had that swagger. But then once Regal came in, it was like Dad was mad.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, he backed down. I'm not mad.
I'm just disappointed. And so, like, there's a little bit of that Eddie Haskell to it where it was like, what, who, me? But I think there was just enough of it where it was just like, oh, like, this dude's my idol. And, like, but at the same time, like, no, I think deep down William Regal approves. But, like, you know, like, I think there's just, like, so, the nuance, like you said, was so good in that tournament.
Another little quick praise, element of praise here was the commentating. It just shows you how good Cole is and how passionate and how much of a fan he is when he doesn't have Vince yelling in his ear. And it was so good to hear Nigel, another fresh voice who's got, you know, credentials and passion for wrestling as well, to hear him under the WWE umbrella. It was great. The whole thing was beautiful.
And two more quick names to shout out from that tournament because we think we covered everybody else, but Tucker in the first round against Bate.
I like that match a lot. Yeah.
Was great. Was awesome. Moved well. He looked like kind of the mid 2000s, you know, Rob Conway kind of swimmer's body runway models that they were looking at. But man, the dude could move, and I thought he was great. The other one, Joseph Connors, who I thought kind of stuck the joint out the first night. I think the two of them maybe didn't quite have the same chemistry, the same idea. But Connors played face, and you could kind of tell that wasn't it. But then the next night he got to be a heel, and man, showed up as just this crazy sort of like unstable. You know, missing half an ear, lost a bunch of blood in a bar fight type, like that's when he really showed up. So Connors and Tucker were two guys that really showed up to me too. So
that works out perfectly because I said I was going to ask two questions and Kevin.
I'm sorry.
Literally, it works out perfectly because the first question was to Kevin about Tyler and. Pete Dunne, and the second question was going to be asking from both of your standouts. So, who were those two people? Everyone's going to talk about Trent Seven, everyone's going to talk about Tyler, everyone's going to talk about Pete Dunne. And I'm glad you also said what you said, David. I was not a fan of Joseph Connors, and the first night, he really did. He wasn't. Michael Cole calls it match of the night, and I was like,
"Yeah, that was a joke."
No, the first
you
night
watched the
and
same match.
I took notes, but I'm blanking, and I feel terrible. Like I'm not quite the broadcast journalist.
You're an ass.
But the first night, I thought the Joseph Connors match was the worst match. They didn't have chemistry. I think Connors wants to be a heel, and. He didn't quite do it, but he had a couple of moves. That back elbow into the backbreaker was a legit pop
great.
For me.
That's so smart. That's really smart.
Yeah. And then he got to be full on heel against just, you know, pretty high flying, perfect body Mark Andrews, and I think he did it. You know, he had a couple of little things that maybe I didn't agree with, but his character was completely on point in that one, and I think that was a good way to make his name.
What was the name of the guy he wrestled?
have my notepad around here. I feel terrible.
Because they look the same. I think that's why that match felt flat to me. It looked like the same. Kind of. But anyway.
I know it wasn't Jesus, because that was Sam Gradwell's song.
Guys, I got a seg over here into other news that came out this week that's related to this tournament. We learned on Tuesday, PW Insider is reporting, Dave Meltzer later confirmed, that the WWE Network is looking to bring Insane Championship Wrestling from the UK to the WWE Network. The deal is rumored to be for 2 to 3 years, but it is confirmed to be a multi-year deal. No word yet on if the promotion would air on demand or live via the network live stream, but they did state that the project would not tone itself down. It would be presented as is. We could talk about ICW, but I'd like to kind of talk more about, like, with this news, do we start seeing more independents come to the WWE Network?
That's the promotion, real quick, that Wolfgang's the champion of, right, in Scotland, I'm guessing. Right. Okay.
Yes, sir.
I think so, because that they, you know, they had that survey go out, which had that very question: would you be interested in, you know, independent promotions, you know, for, I'm paraphrasing, obviously. And I think that if this happens, and this is just the start, of course, Flow Slam might have affected those plans to get as many indies as they want, but you can sure as heck get all those UK promotions with this UK tournament and the championship. So I'm all for it. I just want, you know, as long as it helps independent wrestling and the wrestlers themselves, and it keeps it thriving, I'm all for it.
Darnell, Kevin brings up a great point here about the streaming services. I know that Progress has their own streaming service. I think Insane Championship Wrestling was signed to Flow Slam, if I'm not mistaken. Rev Pro has their own streaming service. Do you want to see these companies play ball with WWE, or would you like to see them remain independent of Big Brother?
I think it very much so depends on what your fan base is and how much money you can grab. ICW and a lot of the other UK companies don't generate, I don't want to speak for them, but like probably need to rely on something else for their streaming. I think Progress is not in that conversation. I think Progress and Rev Pro are big enough and generate big enough names to be on their own and to provide their own service. Now, there are a lot of people, and I've gotten into arguments with people on the interwebs about ICW being associated with WWE, and ICW is a little rough. It's a little, you know, rated R, so to speak. It's a little explicit.
They can take seats.
Oh, honey, yes. All of them. Because It's WWE. Last time I checked, like, the WWE Network still had cursing on it. You know, there was a warning before certain.
Yeah, they have ECW
shows.
Unedited on this.
They have ECW unedited, and if you're mad because someone doesn't say a curse word, like, you, like, shut
That's
up. Because
juvenile, exactly.
Exactly, and trust me, I told that person such a thing. it was really, really fun. But it's like, if they're going to offer you the same product with the same wrestlers, and now these wrestlers get more exposure to ask for more money from other wrestling organizations, and if this company is allowed to get more money because they have the WWE Network moniker, what's the negative? Now, if you don't want to watch it because you refuse to watch WWE, that sounds like a PP, because that's a personal problem if I've ever heard one. But, like, these guys need to get paid. And if you're doing the same thing, get paid. Get money.
Dave, I want to ask you here. We talk a little bit about, you know, what this means for the company coming over. What do you think will end up with the UK Championship? We obviously know that WWE wants to have their own United Kingdom show weekly produced in the UK. So will we see the title defended in ICW until that comes to fruition? Will we see this title defended in Progress? I mean, what are your thoughts on where this is all heading?
Well, I guess just to kind of go off the last topic real fast, I think the big thing that we can be concerned with is at one point in time, Vince McMahon bought all the smaller territories, you know. Stampede Wrestling used to be an event, you know. Florida met something. We're going back to the territory days here. But they came in and they bought all it up, but then they made it WWF. They didn't keep it what worked in the South. They didn't keep it what worked in Western Canada. They didn't, you know. So my concern with them going after all these indies is putting too much of their own fingerprints on it. I think why they're so successful is because they're an alternative and people want to see other things and other options. So if it's just a case of they need programming and they're going to buy up places that maybe have their own infrastructure for filming and production and things like that, like an Insane Championship Wrestling or a Progress or like WXW in Germany, or, you know, even into bigger indies here, AAW or even Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, stuff like that. I'm all for it.
Could you imagine the temper tantrum online if WWE signed a deal to put PWG online?
I kind of like watching the wrestling world burn, so I'm pretty for that idea. But anyway, but I guess to answer your question then, I kind of like the idea, like, you know, they'd made the Cruiserweight tournament and then they made their own Cruiserweight show. And we talked ad nauseum last week about what the issue with that is. I kind of like the idea of the UK title being sort of a traveling title, like an old NWA title where you bring Tyler Bate into Progress 1 week and then maybe next week he goes to, you know, an OTT promotion or ICW, or he works Italy, or he works, you know, like he just travels and maybe uses the WWE UK name to up those promotions. Mm-hmm. At the same time, yeah, I think there's a place on the WWE network for everything. So I kind of hope they shy away from making their own UK show at the moment, just because, you know, there's so many irons and so many fires, and there's so many ways they could take the prestige of this belt that they just made and kind of cash in on it in other ways. So
it'll be interesting. A beautiful looking title.
It really is.
I agree.
It'll be interesting to see what happens, because rumor has it that they've signed all 16 of these guys to some form of a contract. What that means, you know, I guess time will tell.
All I know is next week is Matt Riddle versus Tyler Bate and Matt Riddle versus Pete Dunne in the UK. And if you think I didn't price tickets, but also, you know, Tyler Bates actually a tag team champion in Chikara right now, too. He and Seven. So, you know, there's things to think about there. Are they going to drop those titles? You know, so so who knows? There's a lot of interesting things that could come of this.
It'll be interesting to see what goes down WrestleMania weekend. I think that's when we might see a little bit of this. Like, if, you know, Chikara is running two shows WrestleMania weekend, so we'll keep an eye on that. All right, guys. Well, it's time for shout-outs. And to lead off shout-outs, I got to shout-out the four lovely ladies who retweeted us today, Alyssa, KG, Nancy, and Katie. Katie's from France, so that's pretty cool. We are international podcast right here in little old Iowa. Thank you, ladies, for retweeting us. When we asked, we're getting really close to 1,900 followers. I really want to hit that over the weekend, so if you're listening to this, do us a favor, retweet us out, help us promote ourselves as we relaunch. We want to get as many eyes on us as we can, because we know what you know, and we've got something special going here, and we want everyone to find out about it. I also want to shout out the EMC Podcast Network, especially Grolix Podcast with Randy Sylvie and Jesse Kiefer. I will be on the Grolix Bites edition on Monday the 23rd talking Westworld with Randy Sylvie. Really looking forward to everybody hearing that conversation. And everybody go over and follow at EMC Podcast Network. Make sure you go to electronicmediacollective.com and check out all of the amazing shows up there. Shotgun Wrestling Radio is a part of it. Movie Madhouse, 80s Movie Graveyard, things of that nature, book shows, Doctor Who shows, everything. You're going to find it all there at the electronicmediacollective.com. I also want to encourage everyone to go over to TeePublic and pick up a Pro Wrestling Iowa Podcast t-shirt. It's right now on sale for $14. Head over to TeePublic.com and pick up a t-shirt. Also, click on the Amazon.com link below this if you're listening to this on ProWrestlingIowa.net. By going to that link, shopping on Amazon at no extra cost to you, we're going to get a little kickback, help support the Pro Wrestling Iowa podcast, help us grow, help us continue to put out this great content for you guys, the listeners, who are our most important commodity. Guys, thank you for being supportive of the Pro Wrestling Iowa podcast. As you know, we will be relaunching next week, so make sure you remember, starting next week with episode 51, the Pro Wrestling Iowa podcast will be on Wednesdays with myself, Luke Raven, and Alex McCarthy talking Iowa Indies, Minnesota, Illinois, Nebraska, South Dakota, you name it, Midwest Indies. We're going to be covering it on the Pro Wrestling Iowa podcast. Myself, Kevin, and Darnell will move over to Fridays for the Pro Wrestling Mothership. We're going to get all the WWE, New Japan, Evolve, Shimmer, Shine, PWG, all of that goodness. You're going to get it there on Fridays. Make sure you follow both accounts at Pro Wrestling IA and at PW Mothership. We'll be right back. I'm going to break down some of the independent news. Stay tuned.
In the future, roving bands of comic book podcasts will savage the wasteland, once known as the Internet. One podcast, the Grawlix Podcast, may not be the biggest, may not be the funniest, may not be the most well-spoken. Wait, what was my point again? Oh yes, the Grawlix Podcast. Listen to it at GrawlixPodcast.com. That's G-R-A-W-L-I-X Podcast.com.
Hey everybody and welcome back. It's Dustin Smothers here with your Independent Corner. The final time that this will be isolated to a single segment of the Pro Wrestling Iowa Podcast. As we are all aware, starting next week, the Pro Wrestling Iowa Podcast moves to Wednesday nights with myself, Luke Raven, and Alex McCarthy. I'll be joined by Darnell Mitchell and Kevin on Fridays on the Pro Wrestling Mothership, covering all the national and international news. Guys, we've got a big, big, big weekend coming up here in local Midwest wrestling, especially here in Iowa, as we've got two major shows coming up, the Impact Pro Wrestling Show and the Scott County Wrestling Show on Saturday night. If you didn't listen to them, you should go back, stop right here, and listen to the Impact Pro Wrestling preview show with myself and Jason Michaels, the greatest manager that ever lived. And also listen to the Scott County Wrestling Preview Show with Alex McCarthy and the managerial measuring stick, Mark Storm. We'll get to both of those shows here in just a little bit, but we're going to kick things off this week with AAW. They are back at Bourbon Street, 115 Bourbon Street to be exact. AAW presents Don't Stop Believing. This is going to be a huge, huge, huge card. AAW always brings their A game to the Chicagoland area. It's a company that I love, love, love supporting. Danny Daniels, owner of the company, great guy, does a lot of great things for the fans, brings in a lot of amazing talent. Everyone should be going to AAW when given the chance. They are running on Friday night, this Friday night at 115 Bourbon in Chicago, Illinois. Let's get into that card, guys, because it is a stacked card. Silas Young, going to be a big, big part of this evening. Let's get right into that one. This I'm really, really looking forward to. Silas Young versus Drew Galloway. That's right, the Insane Championship Wrestling's, the TNA performer, Drew Galloway versus Silas Young of Ring of Honor this Friday night at AAW. Also, Dave and Jake Crist, Ohio is for Killers, take on Homicide and Eddie Kingston. Brian Cage and Michael Elgin, the Unbreakable Effin' Machines, versus ACH and Rey Fénix. If that doesn't get you in the building, I don't know what will. Mercedes Martinez will be in competition in a non-title match. She is still your Shimmer champion. She will not be defending the title Friday night against Angelina Love. AAW Tag Team Championship match. Andrew Everett and Jack Evans versus Matt Fitchett and Davey Vega. We've also got Davey Richards versus Matt Sydal, the Monster Abyss versus Colt Cabana, and Sami Callihan defends the AAW Heavyweight Championship in an open challenge match. Your guess is as good of mine as who's going to show up to face Sami Callihan. This thing still has tickets available. You can get them by going to AAWrestling.com. They've got general admission standing room only for $20. That's a cheap ticket to see some of these big luminaries of independent pro wrestling. Bell time at 8, doors at 7:15. That's at 115 Bourbon Street at 3359 West 115th Street, Marionette Park, Illinois. AAW Pro Wrestling presents Don't Stop Believing. Coming up after that, we talked about the big Impact Pro Wrestling show, the big Scott County Wrestling show, Impact Pro Wrestling. Let's dig into this one. We talked about it on the preview show, but you're not going to want to miss this. Ryan Slade finally gets his shot at AJ Smooth. the IPW Heavyweight Champion last month, won the belt from James Jeffries in a three-way involving Tony Sly. We'll get to Tony Sly here in just a little bit. He cost James Jeffries that belt. All the gold rests with Crazy Sexy Cruel as Impact Pro Wrestling returns to Des Moines Saturday, 7 p.m. at the Forte Conference Center and All Play in downtown Des Moines, 615 3rd Street, Des Moines, Iowa. Tickets $15 at the door. Like I said, Ryan Slade, AJ Smooth, if you've been in the Des Moines area for an extended period of time, you know the history between these two men. Sexy and Smooth, one of the greatest tag teams to grace the Midwest in the last decade. They imploded this year, and Ryan Slade wants his head on a platter. AJ Smooth is the champion. He has got to be clutching that belt close because Ryan Slade is going to be coming straight for him. I mentioned Tony Sly costing James Jeffries the belt. They will go one-on-one January 21st, this Saturday night. The IPW Tag Team Championships are on the line. Aaron Von Baron and Justin Decent of Crazy Sexy Cruel defend against the 80s man Eddie Rose and Jimmy Rockwell. The Legend Killers look to avenge their loss to Clay Cooper and Nathan Edwards, the Fight and Flight Connection, this Saturday night at the Forte Conference Center for Impact Pro Wrestling. Clay Cooper and Nathan Edwards have been on a roll, and you have to imagine the Legend Killers are going to be looking to halt that momentum. J.J. Garrett, the King of Swag Style, returns to Des Moines to take on the Big Picture Ashton Christopher, who's got to be looking to regain some momentum after coming up short to Clay Cooper last month. The Tangerine Dream, Ricky Love, is back in Des Moines, and he takes on the relentlessly sexy Ray Fearing and his manager, Jason Michaels, in the corner. These guys are $10,000 poorer this month because Malice, the monster, defeated Ray Fearing last month to win that $10,000. He will go one-on-one with Ugly. Guys, this is another stacked card from Impact Pro Wrestling. I encourage everyone to get down there Saturday night, 615 3rd Street in Des Moines, Iowa, at the Forte Conference Center, 7 p.m. 7 p.m. bell time, guys. The weather's supposed to be really nice. It's supposed to be in the mid-40s that day, so get the whole family together. There's a full bar. Get on down there for Impact Pro Wrestling this Saturday night. If you're on the eastern part of the state of Iowa or northern Iowa, you're not going to want to miss Scott County Wrestling Prestige this Saturday night at 7 p.m. at the Walcott Coliseum, 116 East Bryant Street, Walcott, Iowa. Guys, Scott County Wrestling doesn't announce a lot of matches in advance, but what we do know is the Prestige Battle Royal takes place this Saturday night. We're not sure how many contestants there are. We're not sure who's coming in first, second. We know who's coming in last, and that's Violet Parker. Violet Parker has been on a roll. She is one of the top female talents in the Midwest. She has an opportunity to win the Prestige Battle Royal and go on for a Scott County Wrestling Heavyweight Championship match against the winner of Merrick Brave and Crotch this Saturday night. That rivalry is ready to boil. That's been going on since early last fall, almost late summer. Merrick Brave turned on the fans, turned on everyone, and became the fashionista. And he's been using Violet Parker as his china to his Triple H, so to speak, here. Creates a lot of questions. What if Violet wins the Prestige Rumble and Merrick retains? Time will tell, fans. A lot of great action. The Walcott Coliseum is a place to be on Saturday night. If you are up in the northeastern or eastern part of the state, or if you're in Illinois, hell, if you are anywhere, you should go to either Scott County Wrestling or Impact Pro Wrestling. You're guaranteed a good show. I'll be at Impact Pro Wrestling. Alex McCarthy will be at Scott County Wrestling. Luke will be with me in Des Moines. I believe Kevin will be in Des Moines as well. So if you're in the area, make sure you stop by and say hello to any of us. We'd love to meet you. You guys are not going to want to miss this weekend. Oh my goodness, how did I forget? There is one other big match, Scott County Wrestling fans. I almost forgot the huge triple threat tag team championship match. The champions Feel Good Incorporated, Bobby Doll and Rave Boy, defend against Latin Thunder and Sentai, and King Steven Youngblood and Wilhelm Armory. This show, guys, is going to be stacked. Everything is stacked this weekend. What a time to be alive. If you're a fan of professional wrestling and you live in Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, Missouri, you've got lots of options. Let's not forget, NWL KC is back this weekend as well, guys. There's a lot of action going on. There's almost too much to keep track of. That event taking place on Saturday the 21st as well. 7 p.m., 1330, Linwood Boulevard, Kansas City, Missouri. Tickets available at fightkc.ticketfly.com. Don't dare, right off their Facebook page here, don't dare miss the second NWL KC event at the Scottish Rite Temple. League Prez Major Bison will appear to display the stunning KC Championship belt. Can't wait to get a look at that. Thor Theriot will attempt to dethrone the Monarch Jeremy Wyatt in what should be a classic that night. Looks like Royal Blood will take on Ken Darma and Niles Plunk. Dakota Draper will be there to impress all the crowd without breaking a sweat. We can also expect to see the debut of the maniacal mercenaries from the West Coast, Cousins Marco and Lionel Howlett. All that and more this Saturday. If you're going down to that show, please send us a report from that show. None of us are going to be able to make it down to Kansas City for show two. We look forward to getting down there for a show again here in the very, very near future. Guys, that wraps it up for the Independent Corner this week. I can't wait till next week. We can bring you an entire hour with not just me, but with Luke and Alex dissecting all of this action. We'll be able to do it so much more justice, guys. We'll be right back after this message from Shotgun Wrestling Radio. Stay tuned.
Hey, guys, it's the Zigman and Zach Takis, and when you finish it up listening to this great podcast, make sure you head on over and check out Shotgun Wrestling Radio.
That's right. We're new to the EMC Podcast Network. Over at Shotgun Wrestling Radio, we give you the latest news in professional wrestling.
That's right. We cover WWE, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, and more. Want to know what's going on in the events in the Iowa Independent scene? We cover that, too, with our pro wrestling calendar.
That's right, Zigman. Not only do we cover that, but we also have a wide variety of interviews with pro wrestlers, both past and present. All our interviews can be found on our Facebook page, facebook.com/shotgunradio and the number one.
We hope you'll take the time to give us a listen, and remember to give us a like and follow on Twitter and Facebook at Shotgun Radio and the number one.
All right, everybody, welcome back. And this week, guys, we found out who will be replacing Steve Corino for the English commentary on New Japan World. I'm very excited for this guy to join Kevin Kelly. I think even more so than Steve Corino, this guy is going to keep Kevin Kelly on his feet, on his toes. And you're going to be able to hear him for the first time on February 5th for the New Beginning in Sapporo show. Don Callis, the former Cyrus, the former Jackal. I could be forgetting other gimmicks here, but Don Callis, currently you can hear him with Lance Storm on the Killin' the Town podcast on the Jericho Network. Don Callis, I think, is going to be a welcome addition to this announced team for New Japan World.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I actually like it because I think I like Corino, but I just did not like him on commentary. So him being on the Ring of Honor is good as well for me. But Callis has a great voice. He showed what he could do alongside Joey Styles in ECW towards the end. So
I think he did some like Shotgun Saturday Night with WWF back in the day.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So he's well versed in the gift of gab, and I think he's really going to bring a great analysis to the show. Dave, I know you watch New Japan World. Is that correct?
A little.
Okay.
I guess. I've watched a lot of New Japan.
What are your thoughts on Corino as a commentator, and is Don Callis somebody you would want to hear commentate this?
I don't think Corino was as bad as a lot of people made him out to be. I also don't think he was very good. I know that's kind of straddling the fence there, but I think he's kind of a guy who's sort of a natural trainer, and I think him moving into the performance center like he is a good move and the right move, and I'm happy for him. Don Callis he's a guy who can talk, man. The Killing the Town podcast is a fun podcast if you're unfamiliar. Lance plays such a good straight man. There's a lot of their humor doesn't work if you take it seriously. Like if you're like, oh, they're actually trying to do a bit right now, like it's a Saturday Night Live skit. But if you just are like, these two are idiots, like it's kind of fun in that sort of aspect. But yeah, I think Callis knows a lot about wrestling. He's got a good voice. He's got a good pace. He's got a good temperament. He doesn't take himself too seriously. And I don't think he's the type that will put himself over the product. So I think that's what you need in the commentator. Mm-hmm.
Darnell, do you have any opinion on Don Callis joining the New Japan World English commentary team?
I remember Don Callis in WWF. I think I remember him with the Oddities.
The Truth Commission.
Okay. He was with the Oddities briefly, though. Darnell's right.
Wasn't he?
Okay.
Really? Yeah, he was. Okay. He was. That was okay. Just briefly before then they kind of turned face and brought in the Insane Clown Posse, and Earthquake had a Cartman doll, and I don't know, was all this a fever dream? I sort of feel like the Attitude Era as a whole.
No,
anyway, no, he's correct. Don Callis was briefly with the Oddities.
Yes, Dustin and Kevin, take your seats. I think.
And also, if I may, was on the short list of people that were supposed to be the higher power.
Did you guys hear recently that Bruce Pritchard was saying that he was trying to talk Vince into hiring Christopher Daniels? Like, wow, what a different world we'd live in right now if Christopher Daniels had been the higher power. off track here, though. Don Callis, I think he's going to bring a lot to the announce booth. Darnell, I guess I kind of cut you off there. You remember him from the Oddities.
No, I remember him from that. I remember he was really interesting. I don't really have much of an opinion about him doing the commentary for it. I thought Steve Corino was really good. But yeah, I think Steve Corino's also going to be better utilized as a trainer. And a lot of people need to get the experience that he has to offer. And I think that's more important. So go, Steve.
Well, with that news this week, we also found out what shows will have English commentary on New Japan World. And if you're one of those people out there that's on the fence about New Japan World because you don't like listening to the Japanese commentary, New Japan is listening to you, and they are bringing even more to the table with English commentary this year. We're going to get New Beginning in Sapporo on February 5th, New Beginning in Osaka on February 11th. We're going to get the 45th anniversary event on March 6th, the finals of the New Japan Cup on March 20th, Invasion Attack, April 9th, Wrestling Dontaku on May 3rd, Best of the Super Juniors Finals on June 3rd, Dominion on June 11th, and then both on the 1st and 2nd of July, which I will be at, I swear to God, the G1 Climax U.S. Specials in L.A., and then the opener and the finals, the 11th and the 13th for the G1 are also scheduled to be on that. And that just gets you through August. So that's a show a month. And I can't stress to you enough about how much backlog content there is on New Japan World. It sounds like I'm getting paid. I'm not. I'm just encouraging everybody to go out and get this content and educate yourself on New Japan Pro Wrestling.
How far back did it go?
Shut up, Dustin. I'm putting in my credit card information. Pause for a minute here. No. Go ahead, Kevin.
How far back did they go? If you said there's like 90s New Japan? I mean, how 80s. Far back?
We're going back all the way to 80s.
Probably
some, there might be some 70s in there. I don't have enough time to go back and look into the 70s, but I went back and watched some of the old Hogan stuff out of curiosity. There's a lot of great content on there, Kevin. You would get your money's worth on it. I guarantee it.
Knowing that, actually, that kind of makes it even more worth it. Like the network, you know, it's like you get the new stuff and the old. That's like perfect.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, this leads us into probably what will be the most hot take segment of the show, to steal a quote there from Dave. We found out this week that Superfly Jimmy Snuka passed away at the age of 73 following a battle with stomach cancer, lots of other health issues. He passed away with his family there. Tamina Snuka obviously confirmed this. Dwayne The Rock Johnson tweeted out confirming as he's really close with the family. There's a lot surrounding the Snuka news, how to feel about it, how to go about covering it. Obviously, you can separate the art from the artist, which we can do. We do that with Benoit. We put over Benoit's matches with Kurt Angle earlier in the show. We can put over Jimmy Snuka as a performer and not as a man. But I think one thing we really got to talk about is the WWE's decision Monday night to go with the opening show picture and then follow it up with a very heartfelt tribute video, which left me feeling slightly uncomfortable. And if you look at the crowd in attendance in Little Rock, this wasn't the typical reaction from a crowd where they're chanting, you know, Dusty or, you know, Piper. There were people clapping, a few, mostly people standing around looking weird.
Yeah, I agree.
You guys agree with the decision for WWE to run this tribute video in the wake of what we know about the death of Nancy Argentino in 1983, obviously some people think it's just internet rumor. Others, like myself, like to believe that the evidence clearly points to Snuka being involved in this situation. Whether or not he meant to, whether or not he did, it makes him a murderer potentially. The NFL wouldn't have paid tribute to O.J. Simpson like this. I think it was really irresponsible for WWE to do the same, but really, I shouldn't be surprised from the WWE. Guys, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely don't think it was a smart move for that. I mean, that opening graphic was fine. I get that. Just go ahead and acknowledge it. And that's really all I thought they were going to do. For them to go over the top and be so heavy-handed with the actual video package with everything surrounding it, especially with the case being reopened. I mean, had that not happened, sure, they might be able to go under the radar, but, you know, they've known about this for, I mean, since it happened. I mean, that's, I don't think that's to be questioned, really. And it was almost like they were kind of throwing it in people's faces about it. And yeah, it wasn't smart. I mean, whatever my personal feelings are aside, because I mean, I don't think they should have did it. And I'm not personally outraged, but I definitely think it was a really bad PR move. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of blowback they get from it, if any.
This one is, it's tough because, we cheer a lot of scumbags, you guys. And I don't even just mean wrestling. Like, you know, you can look at, Jimmy Page kidnapped a 14-year-old once, you know? But even like, to keep it into wrestling, like two of my favorite wrestlers of all time, Art Barr, Dick Murdoch. Convicted rapist, Ku Klux Klansman. Like, it's not an easy thing to grasp. But it's like Dustin said, separate the art from the artist. Here's where the line kind of comes in for me. With Benoit matches, it's uncomfortable for me to watch a Chris Benoit match, not because of what he did. Because at this point in time, I'm kind of like acceptance with what he did, because his brain was broken. You know, he wasn't well. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot to look at that. The problems I have with watching Benoit matches are twofold. One, we're watching what made his brain not well. Mm-hmm. And two, I'm thinking back to the night where I went into my biology class and I got a call from my friend that told me Chris Benoit was dead. And then I had to go and watch two of Chris Benoit's closest friends, William Regal and Chavo Guerrero, have to eulogize him while they knew pretty well what had happened. And then spending the next 3 days at my computer desk just hitting refresh.
Right.
Like, that's the problem I have with Chris Benoit matches. And I know it sounds sort of callous to say, but, like, that's why I have a hard time watching Chris Benoit matches.
It takes
like,
you back to that time.
I feel that. With Snuka, I'm A-okay with just saying, man, screw that guy. Like, on one hand, I don't have any, like, artistic attachment to him. And I say screw that guy in the sense that, like, I know there's a lot of people close. There's friends of ours that are close to that family. Mm-hmm. And so I don't wish them any ill. But, yeah, the graphic at the front should have been enough. For them to throw that video package, not only knowing what he likely did, but the very strong rumors of what Vince was involved with mm-hmm. on that night, they should have known better. Mm-hmm. They should have known better.
All right, Darnell, I think everybody's waiting with bated breath for your remarks.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
First, we need to start this off with is China. Why do I say China? China got a 5-second little video when she died because of her relationship with Triple H and Stephanie and the WWE. She got a 5-second little montage in the beginning of the show. Jimmy Snuka, you can think whatever you want to think. He killed that woman and he got away with it, and he got this sort of grandiose tribute by WWE, and it made no sense to me. And I don't get it, and I don't understand it. It is very hard for me to separate the artist from who he was as a person. Benoit was one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, but I cannot watch his matches. It is really, really hard for me to watch a lot of his matches because it doesn't change the fact that he's a murderer. He killed his wife and he killed his son, and that's all I'm going to think of. Wrestling is very, very, very important to me, but human life is more important. And I think that we sometimes forget that the entertainment doesn't matter in the long run. It's what that person does in their real life. And for, like, my neck just started swiveling. And for everyone that has the entire week, I've gotten in a bunch of arguments. Dustin has been involved himself. You can think whatever you want to think. You can think I'm a quote-unquote activist or whatever you want to think. It does not matter what he has attributed to wrestling. He still more than likely killed his girlfriend, and that is more important. You can give your 5-second praise. That's fine. I'm cool with that. I'm good with that. But don't sit here and put this guy on a golden pedestal of golden showers that he does not need to be on, because I'm not here for that. And no one should be here for that. And no one should condone that. And they should have knew better to do what they did. It's just inconsiderate, because heaven forget, what's her name? Nancy, right?
Nancy Argentino, yeah.
Yes, oh geez, like, people apparently don't like Nancy's. Nancy, just think about her family, who the entire 4 years has just had to deal with, you know,
there'll never be any justice.
There'll never be any justice for that, you know? And actually, someone else said this. I'm not saying this. And when someone was like, well, the rest of his career was amazing, you know the person who didn't get to see his career? And that was Nancy. Mm-hmm. Because of the things that he did. And it's, excuse my French, you're going to have to beat me out, but it's fucked up. And WWE did some fucked up stuff. And they shouldn't have done that video. That's not cool. I don't like it. It's fine. But your WWE is tasteless sometimes, so I'm not surprised.
Not to pile on, but that same video tribute to Snuka is available on demand on the network for $9.99.
Dear Lord.
It is. I was kidding. But it really is up there, and I thought that was kind of even like more ballsy that they put it up there. Like,
well, let's talk about the lyrics to the song they chose. But about, like, life's too short. Like, yeah, life is too short, especially when someone kills you. one last thing I got to point out, and I just want to address something. I was told several times this week that, well, if you were alive when his career was at its peak, or if you were old enough to know him, you'd think differently. I don't need.
I was going to kill that guy.
I don't need to have been alive to understand someone's career. I wasn't alive during San Martino's career, but I've watched a lot of San Martino matches on YouTube. I've seen enough. I know the history of professional wrestling, so I'm going to tell you right now, for anybody who criticizes me for saying I can't speak on something I wasn't alive for, Darnell,
take them seats, honey. Take them. Exactly. Take them all.
And I don't need to have seen someone's peak work to know they were a murderer. And I'm going to call it right now. Jimmy Snuka murdered Nancy Argentino. It's in the evidence. It's all there. Read it. Look at it. We'll be right back after this break.
Hey, guys. This is Brandon from the Technology Geek Podcast. You can catch all of our shows on thetechnologygeek.org, as well as on iTunes and all other places where podcasts are carried. We also have a wonderful blog. And like I said, we talk computers, the internet, programming, cell phones, and pretty much anything geek. So come and visit us and listen to our wonderful show at thetechnologygeek.org.
All right, guys, we're back, and let's lighten the mood a little bit. We got a little heated there. Raw and SmackDown this week, not bad shows, but there's this one thing I just can't get over from Monday Night Raw, guys. Does anybody want to just take a guess at what it might be?
The Jimmy purple Snuka's ropes video clashing.
Oh, I know.
What is it?
The tag team Dusty Finish.
Yeah. Since when are we booking Dusty Finishes that make the heels sympathetic?
Yeah, that was short-sighted for sure.
What was that? Don't even get me started on the fact that they gave me the tag title reign I've been wanting for and then took it away from me. But all feelings aside about how I want my good brothers to be tag team champions, that's not the point of a Dusty Finish. It made Cesaro and Sheamus look like dicks. What? Why does this company have such a problem booking baby faces?
I know, they really do. They have lost their way. And that was actually the one thing they did well for years.
But this is this is the thing. I don't think they necessarily lost the way. I think that they think that what we expect out of a babyface in 2017, 2016, and 2015 is very different than what people want to give them, because then you turn around and honestly one of the best baby faces there are is Becky Lynch on SmackDown. Like, it's, they can clearly book a baby face. Wow.
Well, Triple H can. We learned like that this weekend.
Oh yes. And you know, there is some sort of disconnect on Raw where it's sort of like your baby face should be kind of an ass. And well, I don't get it.
They've booked that way since Hogan. Like, people don't really remember this about Hogan. No, Hogan wasn't a white meat baby face. He would fight and he would come back, but man, that dude would use chairs if he had to. He'd choke people with his T-shirt. He beat up Sherry Martel many times.
He bike raked. You know, he back raked.
Back raked. And like, yeah, he wasn't. That's the thing that Vince McMahon sees when he sees a baby face. He sees somebody that doesn't take crap from anyone, you know. And it's like, you know, you'll do this to me, I'll do this to you. You know, whereas a baby face is supposed to be virtuous and you're supposed to, like, see the good in them. Like, Vince McMahon sees
Bret
them
Hart,
as the guy,
Bret
I guess.
Bret Hart was a virtuous baby face.
Sure. I don't disagree with that.
Rey Mysterio was as well.
Yeah, but
I think
they really only gave – I mean, they have moments where they can book baby faces. But, like, as far as the – like, look at their top guys. The Rock was a dick.
He was a heel that the guys loved, and Austin was also a heel.
Like, that's, and Austin was, and, like, I mean, Cena kind of was into, he wasn't, and then, like, and then when he was kind of, like, you know, white bread, everybody hated him all of a sudden. So, yeah, like, this is kind of, they've never been a babyface territory, no matter what they think they are.
Well, and I agree with everything you said, but I don't think that's the right way to then, I mean...
Oh yeah, I don't disagree with what you're saying. That was an absolute ridiculous finish, and I don't know. Here's my problem with Raw forever. If you're having a feud with Cesaro and Sheamus against the Club, why do they always have to fight each other? Mm-hmm. Like, they painted themselves into a corner because they want to keep this feud going. Why didn't Cesaro and Sheamus beat the Shining Stars and the Club beat Enzo and Cass or something, you know?
They give away.
Now they both look strong, and then you build the two teams that are going to win. Like, and then, or like, maybe, you know, they try and interfere, but they still beat the Shining Stars, and like, then you stare down, and like, you know, but they seem to be in this rut where they book feuds where it's, I'm feuding with you, so we fight. And then next Monday on Raw, we're going to fight again. And, you know, how many times has Rusev fought some combination? Rusev and Mahal fought some combination of Cass and Enzo. How many times has Owens and Jericho fought some combination of Roman Reigns? If they're feuding with that guy, they're going to fight that guy every week. Yeah, like there's so many people on this roster. Like, has Rusev...
It's equivalent of WWE 2K, like, 17 in the rivalry mode. It's legit just fight the same guy. It's like Groundhog Day.
But, like, has Rusev ever fought, I don't know, who's... Like Sami Zayn. Have they ever had a match?
It probably a two-minute farce.
And NXT, maybe.
But, right. But, like, why can't Sami Zayn and Rusev have a match? Or why can't Rusev fight, you know, there's got to be guys, why can't he fight Goldust or something? Man, Rusev Goldust would be awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, like there's an entire roster full of people that you can, you know, you can play in your playground with, and I think, they just don't.
Well, and I think that's one of the strengths of the Attitude Era is that people crossed over into each other's feuds and they didn't do that same thing week after week after week. Like, you look at Dave Meltzer, Alvarez and Meltzer brought up a great point. How many times have the Club lost title matches on Raw in the last year?
73,000 times. I counted.
All of them? All of the matches.
Yeah.
Every match.
They don't look
even matches they weren't in.
Right.
Still get.
it'll be, I mean, and I think that's a big part. You look at what happened. The crowd booed the Dusty finish when the faces got the titles back on Monday, because they thought they'd seen the title finish. And for all I know, maybe that crowd really wanted to see Doc and Carl win the titles Monday night. But it definitely soured me on the rest of the show. I did not enjoy the rest of the show, even though that end segment, when I watched it back on YouTube, was actually pretty sweet.
The end segment is the best part of the show. Everything else was terrible. Like, Nia Jax, she walked into that ring so slow. Trainers, do your job. Like, I don't have time to see Bayley talk about My Little Pony.
Oh, Bayley got booed Monday night for reading poetry. If you're getting,
and no one wants
getting
to see
Bayley
it.
Booed, you need to change your booking philosophy.
There was 3 hours of wrestling and not one woman's match. And there are almost the same amount of women on SmackDown than there are on Raw. And you cannot have one woman's match in 3 hours. But Titus O'Neil can take his fat ass out there in the ring and do another nonsense New Day segment. It's just like, I literally feel like I am in Groundhog's Day. It's the same thing every week. There's no story progression.
In mind. There ain't no way.
They have the talent to do it. The indie segment is great, because guess what? Guess who looked on top? For once in his career, the WWE Universal Champion. He was made to look, made to look strong, and he should be made to look strong more so than Roman Reigns, more so than Chris Jericho's damn list, more so than Seth Rollins. He's your champion. Like, he should look like a champion, and I miss seeing him look like a champion. Besides, the rest of Raw can, like, you know what, Raw, I got two words for you. Suck it. I'm good.
I haven't watched a Raw live, like, consecutive weeks. I've watched one or two here or there, but I don't think I've watched 2 weeks in a row in probably 5 years.
Hashtag DVR, honey.
Hulu, my friend, Hulu. because not only do you get it the next day, you get it in 90 minutes. And anything that they cut out, you can find on YouTube if it was important. Mm-hmm. Or somebody you cared about. But even then, I don't think I even watch much of those. Like, it's not worth my time. I don't care about the characters. I don't care about anybody involved. And like, they have arguably the most talented roster. Like, that's the funny thing about it. I think I mentioned it last week, where it's like, there's nobody on Raw right now, like, that you would swap places with where they are. Right. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's kind of slotted about right-ish, you know? Like, there's maybe here or there, but, like, it's pretty okay. Like, say what you want about Roman Reigns. Dude's been in arguably the WWE main roster match of the year the last 5 years. Like, he's worth your time. I get why people don't like him, but, like,
He's a great wrestler, but he's terribly miscast.
Sure. And yes. Yeah, and it's just because it's not a good show. I just don't care. I don't care about, I didn't care about TNA for most of the last 15 years, except for, like, the 3 years where they were pretty good. You know what I mean? I don't feel bad about that.
It's funny, too.
I don't feel bad. But, right. Like, I feel like I'm supposed to feel bad because I don't like Raw.
Nah. Well, I think it's funny,
weird, but I don't like
TNA. People ask me, do you like TNA? I'm like, I like Matt Hardy. Now, like, literally, I will go seek out that stuff online. I think is a lot of the same way you used to watch Raw.
Yeah, the last Raw's 3 months of TNA have been worth your time. Although they're bringing Davey Richards into the title picture, but now we're digressing.
And we could go into spoiler territory. I'm not going to say it, but did you guys see who they put the title on?
Gosh darn, don't tell me, because okay. I'm actually trying to pay attention.
Right. They didn't, but they put the title on that gentleman for, like, legit, like, 7 seconds, and then the other person won the title right back.
Fair enough.
No, that's sad, because I actually watched the show, because that's part of my weekly duty, and I don't remember.
No, it's not.
It hasn't happened yet.
They're taping TV out for, like, months now.
Okay, good. That's why I don't remember. So I'm like, I don't think they...
I gotta point out one other thing on Raw that really stood out is the confrontation between Brock Lesnar and Sami Zayn. I kind of dug that. I really like
that. Was actually The Sammy opening segment was great, actually.
Sammy had the balls of steel, and he went at Lesnar, and he paid for it. But I love seeing that they booked Sammy to say, you know, F it, and went straight at Brock Lesnar. And gave it
and Braun.
And Braun, yeah.
I think they've done a really good job, even though Sammy is not necessarily in the spot where I think all of us want him to be. Sammy has done an excellent job at doing his damn job, and he's made Braun, I want that dude to win the Royal Rumble, and 90% of it is because of Sami Zayn, and the other 10% is because of, I'm sorry, the other 7% is because of Braun, and the remaining 3% is because of his Tinder profile. But Sami Zayn has looked like a guy that's extremely strong. He's dumb as a character, because he shouldn't be wanting to go up these people. But he is, but no, you just said it, man. He is a true babyface, where he is just like, I'm going to go for this. I'm going to get my ass whipped, but here we go. You know, and that's incredible.
I'm actually a little mad at the WWE because they're going to go ahead and do Lesnar Goldberg 2, which, whatever, do it. But how dare you? Like,
I'm not excited.
Lesnar Zayn is what Brock Lesnar should be doing right now.
Well, it would be like just what set, Daniel Bryan Lesnar could have been that we never got.
Yeah, right. They set the stage with, you know, Zayn Strowman, which was incredible. And Brock is better than Strowman when Brock wants to be, you know, Brock and not Suplex City and, like, you know, wants to be this dynamic professional wrestler. Like, that would be incredible. And then they could do Reigns Goldberg and have, like, the Battle of the Spear. Like, it makes so much sense.
This leads me into a gray area. I kind of put a little spoiler out on Twitter earlier this week that I think I'd locked in my top matches for Mania and what I really think is going to happen. You bring up Goldberg and Reigns. Perfect time to give you my thoughts. I think Samoa Joe is going to win the Royal Rumble. I think that Samoa Joe is going to go on to WrestleMania to challenge John Cena for the championship. I think that AJ Styles will somehow get inserted into that to make it a triple threat. I really like the idea of John Cena having to face both of these guys who were sort of his luminaries in TNA. During Cena's rise, AJ and Joe were tearing it down. I really like that concept. I also think you're going to get Goldberg, Lesnar, like you said. Goldberg is signed to work Fastlane. I think Goldberg is going to get screwed at the Rumble because I think they're going to play the card where Lesnar gets eliminated by Goldberg and then gets back in and eliminates Goldberg. Goldberg is going to face Roman Reigns for the title at Fastlane because Roman Reigns is going to beat Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens and Jericho for the U.S. title. A lot of rumors out there right now about a big match that Meltzer and Alvarez want to blue ball everybody about on Wrestling Observer Live and Wrestling Observer Radio, which I get. I actually do concern myself with sometimes when we talk about matches, we may spoil them because Vince finds out we know, and then he gets rid of it. But let's be real. Vince isn't going to hear this show, or nobody's – and the WWE's going to hear this show. I'm going to call it right now. Finn Balor versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania. That's why Cena Taker's not happening. I really, really believe it's going to be Finn Balor and The Undertaker. To round that all out – where's Roman Reigns? I think we're still going to get Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman for the Universal title at WrestleMania. Those are my top matches. Triple H and Rollins, Shane McMahon and Dean Ambrose, women's title.
Oh, totally.
Charlotte. I think that these are the matches. This is my card. I'm locking it in. This is what I predict. And let's come back in 3 months, and I hope I can pat myself on the back real good.
I hope it's Shane and Dean. I'd actually would be okay with that, as long as it's not Styles and Shane. I've heard that rumor. I want
I'm not as against that as everyone else, simply because if you're fighting a McMahon at WrestleMania, you're on a high profile match.
Yep, you know?
That's a good point.
And if anybody's I mean, if Shane's gonna wrestle, either he's gonna wrestle and we're gonna kind of pay attention to it like he did The Undertaker, or he's gonna wrestle the very best guy on the show and get a match out of it. Like,
that's a good
I don't want to see that. I think Shane has killed himself in that Survivor Series match. I realized I was good.
Yeah, I don't want Shane to wrestle.
I think
all.
if you Yeah, I think we're going to do a McMahon match. You know what your McMahon match actually is? It's Stephanie McMahon versus Sasha Banks. The boss versus the boss. And, like, I think that is a lot more interesting than seeing Shane McMahon do something, because I finally want to see Stephanie McMahon get her comeuppance. I want to see someone pin her in the ring, and that person should be Sasha Banks. And I think that, to me, that is
get more Ronda Rousey involved in that too.
You can do so many little things with
Let Rousey be the special guest ref. High profile
match without being called. Perfect. And in that way, like me, Dustin, you and I had talked before, you can gauge Ronda Rousey's response, how people take to her, and do they take to her very well? Next year at WrestleMania, you got your next match. Or at SummerSlam, better yet, you got Ronda Rousey versus Stephanie McMahon, because Stephanie is mad because of the way that Ronda counted the 1, 2, 3. That, to me, is 10 times more intriguing than anything Shane McMahon WrestleMania. Shane, you're old. Take your valve tracks, check your batteries, and lay the fuck down. Excuse me. Sorry.
Right, no, I don't disagree, man.
Write down these F-bombs, Darnell.
Yeah, I know. I'm so sorry. I'm just so
man,
sassy.
I'm pretty sure I said crap earlier. Anyway.
Snuka Shane. Okay, cool. Got it. Guys, any other matches? Dave, anything you want to throw into this fantasy booking moment here?
I think... I don't know. I think as long as Strowman looks good, I kind of don't care anymore. No. On top of what you said, I think you actually laid out a pretty good card. I'm worried about Balor Undertaker just simply because it's weird to me that there's a cruiserweight division and Finn Balor is 190 pounds. You know what I mean? Like, that just seems odd to me. And I'm not a guy who normally is like, oh, the little dude against the big dude, whatever. But, like, it's weird that there is an official cruiserweight division. Meanwhile, Finn Balor is 190 pounds.
Sure.
So him versus The Undertaker, I don't know.
Well, and the only reason
I'm
going there...
It's just weird to me. No, it makes
everybody,
perfect sense.
Everybody who knows it keeps saying...
Because of, like, you know, kind of the way the characters are, it makes perfect sense. I just, man... I'm going to go punch myself in the stomach after I say this, but I just wish he were bigger.
Oh, yeah, go punch yourself right now.
But
the reason I bring it up is because everybody who's talking about that match.
No, it makes perfect sense. Everything about it makes sense. I guess here's what I would add.
Everybody will be really excited about it, but they don't want to say it because it could actually screw somebody.
Right.
Bam, Finn Balor. If this match gets out and Vince changes his mind, that screws Finn Balor big time.
I guess here's what I would add to maybe what you didn't say. Both tag team divisions have been great, and so I'd like a decent showcase of that. I think I don't want them on, like, the pre-show, you know, like Ryback and Kalisto, where there's 8 fans in the crowd or whatever. You know, I think Alpha has earned a spot on Mania, I think.
I think Slater's
earned a spot on Mania.
Do you think Revival comes up early in time enough to be on the Mania card?
I don't know.
No.
There's so many things I wonder. Yeah, and I've got a full
and the other one I think on my full is they need to bring Nakamura up. And they need to bring Nakamura up simply because the dude is bored.
If they bring Naka,
I don't want to see NXT Nakamura anymore.
If they bring Naka,
it upsets me. It makes me sad.
If they bring Knock Up, I will switch my card around to Joe and Cena only, and Knock versus Styles. I think you got it.
I can see that. Or I don't know. We're shooting for the moon here, right?
Yeah.
Finn Balor maybe isn't cleared to wrestle yet. How about Undertaker Knock?
Boom! I'm there. I'm already there, but I'm yes.
Yeah. Done. That's my Michael Cole, Joseph Connors, dark horse pick of WrestleMania.
Yeah. Well, guys, let's jump out of the fantasy booking chair. Let's talk about SmackDown. We found out at the open of the show that Elimination Chamber is returning. It's finally official at the Elimination Chamber show in just about 3 weeks, I believe. It's 2 weeks after the Royal Rumble. the WWE champion will defend the title inside the chamber. Whether or not that's AJ Styles or John Cena, I loved AJ Styles' response to maybe it would be John Cena. He says, over my dead body. So I'm really loving it. I'm looking forward to Styles and Cena at the Rumble, guys. What are your thoughts on Elimination Chamber coming back?
I like it. I'm a fan of that concept, as long as they don't overdo it like they did, 2 years ago, where they had three of them, or that was too much. But I think one reserved for the main event on a SmackDown exclusive special, if you will, is going to be good. I think you've got the right players involved, especially AJ involved and probably Dean Ambrose and The Miz. I mean, all good players is going to make a fresh, good Elimination Chamber match.
You don't do one, though. You do two. You do two because...
The women?
Yeah. You go for it. You have the women do it. The women can do it. These chicks can do it. Alexa Bliss has never been in any sort of hardcore match, and this chick has already done a table match and a cage match. These girls can do it. Naomi can do it. It's probably some great high-flying stuff off the top of that cage and feel really comfortable doing it. Yeah, the woman opened up the show with Elimination Chamber. The man made event with Elimination Chamber.
No, I can dig that. I'm with that.
Yeah, that's going to be actually really
fantastic.
That.
It's going to be really good. I like the Elimination Chamber. I think the Elimination Chamber is really, really fun. And I think that it allows you to have certain people interact that you normally don't necessarily see interact. And so... I'm all for it. I think it's going to be great.
One of my favorite Elimination Chamber moments of all time was that when it came down to Daniel Bryan and Santino
Marella. And Santino. That's exactly what I was thinking of. It's so incredible, fun. And it's good. And you can really make a baby face in that type of match. Because for me, if you're doing, let's say you're doing the women, you have Alexa go over, but you have Naomi be that baby face. If you want to give Naomi the belt, she went to the WrestleMania. Why? Because it's in Orlando, where she's from. There's so many different stories you can do with that. Miz's interaction with AJ Styles, go for it.
I still think in a perfect world, we're looking at Cena Undertaker.
Mm-hmm. That WrestleMania. From what I understand, it's off the table.
I get it. That's why I'm saying in a perfect world. Mm-hmm. Like, how are you going to delay that any further?
It's so
Cena's got a foot and a half out the door, and the Undertaker's in his 50s. Just do the damn match.
I know. I am literally upset about it.
So in a perfect world, it's Cena Undertaker, and then it's six fresh guys in the Elimination Chamber. Now, to kind of piggyback on your Santino Marella, I think you put Heath Slater in that, man.
Yes.
I think he's over enough and is good enough, and I think he can hold his own. And I think you're looking probably... I think AJ, of course, one of the Wyatts, but I don't know. Like, I think there's a lot of you could do, and I think SmackDown's been good enough that it's so weird to say, but I trust them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I trust SmackDown to do this right. And, I know I'm kind of fantasy booking, Jason Jordan to win the world title, which, you know, he should because he's awesome. But on the same vein, I trust him. Like, I think that they're going to pull this off and I think it's going to be good. I don't even need to pretend oh, they should do this and that and this and that. Like, I think they got it and I'm excited to see what they do.
I like it. I like it. I actually am about to have a meltdown over here. I just sent a picture of the new Shawn Michaels Funko Pop vinyl, looking straight out of 95 here with Heartbreak Kid. Awesome. Guys, let's talk a little bit further into SmackDown, though. Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss had a cage match. And Darnell, I'm going to let you take the lead on this one. What happened at the conclusion of that match?
It was a very fun match. It's the second cage match in WWE history. The first being with our dear friend Lisa, Victoria, and Lita. It was the first women's match to actually main event SmackDown, so that was pretty cool. And they didn't constantly tout history. It was a hard hitting match. I loved Becky Lynch's exploder suplex off the top rope.
The match ended when Becky attempted to exit the ring and La Luchadora blocked the cage. And Becky had Alexa Bliss in the disarmer, where La Luchadora came in and did a Mick kick to the face of Becky Lynch. You can easily tell by her stance who that was. Alexa hits her DDT. They toss the referee out, basically. And a little scuffle ensues where Becky Lynch takes off La Luchadora's mask. And I called it several weeks ago that it was clearly going to be Mickie James. And it was Mickie James. Both ladies beat down Becky Lynch for SmackDown to roll off the air with Alexa Bliss holding her WWE SmackDown Women's title. I was going to say high, but she's only 5 feet. So, like, you know, mediocre size. I thought it was fun. And I think I'm glad to see Mickie. And I'm glad that I think that's your other WrestleMania match. You do some sort of tag team match, if possible, at Royal Rumble. But Mickie James and Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. I want it.
Guys, see it. What do you think the motivation will be for Mickie James aligning with Alexa Bliss?
Herself. Herself. That's a character. I'm going to get into your head and think I'm your friend. And then after I do this with Becky Lynch, I'm going to try to go and get your title. Mickie James will be a champion by the end of the year. 1,000%.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if we're back into fantasy booking again. I think a real simple thing to do is, you know, the knock on Alexa Bliss has always been, she's just like an old cheerleader and a fitness model or whatever, you know, like she's not the same cut from the same cloth as a Becky Lynch or a Sasha or a Bayley where they cut their teeth and then came in. So I think you just say, Mickie James was her trainer. And, like, that's why she's so good now. She sought out the best, and, like, now they have a relationship. And, yeah, I think Darnell's right, where it's real easy then to have Mickey kind of turn on her and be like, yeah, you know, I only brought you in because I kind of want your title. I think there's easy ways to do it, and I'm happy to see Mickey back. She kind of is a forerunner to a lot of are super indie women, and anytime you can get her back involved, I think is a plus.
And if memory serves me correct, she is the most decorated American women's wrestler. She's a 9-time women's champion.
I guess, are you counting, like, knockout titles and stuff like that, too? Or... I don't know.
I'd be counting knockout titles as well.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, because I know she won women's titles, and she won divas titles,
and she won knockout
titles, so, and wrestled in TNA and Ring of Honor, so.
Yeah. She's up. She
like even before the knockout title, like, she was Alexis Lurie. In yes. TNA. And anyway.
Here, really quick, Mickie James, a former one-time COVID Pro Women's Champion, former Cyberspace Wrestling Federation Women's Champion, former DCW Women's Champion, ICW Super Juniors Champion, International Pro Wrestling United Kingdom Women's Champion, Maryland Championship Wrestling Women's Champion, PWF Women's Champion, Pro Wrestling Illustrated Woman of the Year 2009-2011, ranked number one of the top 50 females in PWI's Female 50 in 2009, SCW Diva Champion, TNA Knockouts Champion 3 times, UWF Women's Champion 2 times, WWE Women's Champion 5 times, Divas Champion 1 time. I think you're pretty safe to say
9 times. There was
probably
9 times.
The most decorated women's champion in history. And that's it, guys. That's episode 50. This is the swan song for Darnell and Kevin on the Pro Wrestling Iowa podcast. Guys, I want you to take some moments to reflect on your favorite moments from being a part of the Pro Wrestling Iowa podcast before we launch the Pro Wrestling Mothership this next week.
Well, my favorite moments is me struggling to keep up with the thriving independent scene locally here in Iowa. And it's gone so fast and advanced and thrived. It's thriving, and it's advanced so fast that I couldn't keep up, which is why I'm no longer on the Pro Wrestling Iowa podcast, and I'm on the mothership going forward. And no matter what Jason Michaels says, him calling me the Mike Adamley of IPW, our Pro Wrestling Iowa, PWI, I apologize. I'm not taking that as an insult. I know what he's meaning by it, but I will take that as a compliment because I have to laugh to keep from crying sometimes.
Darnell, what were your what are your favorite memories of the last couple months?
I love the moment where you invited me to be a part of this, and I appreciate it very, very much so. I love the outtakes of me cursing up a storm, as you guys have viewed tonight. So I'm very, very pleased to be a part of this, and I am really, really excited for what's coming up.
Absolutely, guys. I'm looking forward to everything. Everybody, make sure, as we've said a bunch tonight, make sure you're aware. Next week on Wednesday will be the Pro Wrestling Iowa Podcast, episode 51, with myself, Luke Raven, and Alex McCarthy talking independent wrestling here in Iowa and in the Midwest. And on Friday will be the Pro Wrestling Mothership, episode 1, where we'll be breaking down the upcoming Royal Rumble next week with myself, Darnell, and Kevin. Guys, it's been a blast. Darnell, start us off. Where can we find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram and on the Twitter machine, It's Delicious. And you can also follow my amazing friend Earl at Art by Earl. That's E-R-L-E. And again, if you're in New York City, we will be at Legends Bar next weekend for the Royal Rumble. So if you're there, come and say hi. Yay.
Kevin, what about you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Kev Wilds. If you want to send me a friend request on Facebook, you can do that as well. But I'm most prominent on Twitter, again, at Kev Wilds.
Dave, where can we find you?
I live in Beaverdale in Des Moines. So, you know, just knock on my door. Like, I'm super friendly. And, like, it's a nice neighborhood.
If you bring a sixer of craft beer, I'm thinking you'll be really friendly.
At Hello, I'm Dave on Twitter. I'm not very active there. Find me on Facebook. My current cover photo is of Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne, and Trent Seven. So, you know, talk to me about British stuff.
You can find me on Twitter at Smohawk, on Instagram at Smohawk, on Facebook Dustin Smothers - Voice of PW Iowa. Make sure you're following the Pro Wrestling Iowa Instagram account that we launched last week at Pro Wrestling_IA. Follow us on Twitter at Pro Wrestling IA. Follow the Pro Wrestling Mothership at PW Mothership. Follow the Rated R Podcast at Rated R Podcast, and follow the Brady A Desire Show at Brady A Podcast. Guys, I'm looking forward to everything we've got coming out. It's going to be a hell of a year. 2017, look out. We at Pro Wrestling Iowa are about to take over the world. Peace out, guys. Peace, love, and wrestling. Too sweet.
You're listening to the Electronic Media Collective Podcast Network. Yeah, it's a mouthful. For more great shows, visit electronicmediacollective.com.